The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What is going on, people? Welcome to Throwdown, your questions, episode 563. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo.
Richard Bailey Jr. Damn, Richard left. He said, fuck that. Well, damn. You know, yeah, but at least we got Brian Manjoma in the house.
What up?
All right, guys, we're back without Rich. Richard was here. Then he said, no, you know what? I don't like these guys
He's like,
anymore.
Nah.
I'm dipping.
Like, Rich is done, son.
He's done with Throwdown, man.
Related to Rich, I don't know if you guys noticed, but he started calling the room a couple of times this weekend. Mm-hmm. And I told Rich, and he's like, oh, that wasn't me. So maybe something funky is happening with his account.
Maybe.
So we'll see.
I wonder if it got hacked, you know?
Uh-oh.
I don't know. Yeah, because he did. I was like, yo, Rich Lonely? What's going on, man? He just need to talk to somebody, you know?
You mean you got my phone number?
That is true, you know? Well, that is very interesting, Carlos. all right, man, let's get into it. We didn't get a lot of questions. And a lot of the majority that we get are about RAM. It's all about RAM now. It's all about Wham. Oh, God. All right, Mr. Black Viet kicks us off here. This is something we kind of touched on. We go deeper into it. With RAM prices out of control, should Sony just focus on current-gen consoles instead of trying to release the next PlayStation until RAM prices come back down? Yeah, here's the thing. They're in a weird bind because you usually start releasing consoles 7 years in, and that would be next year. Shout out to Adam who just joined us. But I think with the way things are, not only with the whole RAM situation, but the fact that this generation still doesn't feel like it's begun yet, I think they should push it to 2028. But at the same time, I think that's the limit. I don't think they're going to go more than that because these companies always want to try to beat the other guy. In this case, it would be Xbox. So I think 2028 is when we're probably going to get it, the new console, if they decide to extend it. That's still up in the air. Who knows? Because you know they already have all this stuff in the cards, you know, so they're not going to just stop. This is the same reason why you see all these manufacturers release new phones, new laptops every year, even though they don't need to. You know, they have to for shareholders and all this other shit. And because they have, you know, their partners and stuff that have already made the parts and they need to use them, you know. But yeah, I think, if we're going to get it extended, and that's still a big if, probably 2028, you know. So Adam, I know you just popped in, so I'll ask the question again. And Rich showed up too. Hey, Rich, you doing good, bro? You fucking left us while I was doing the intro, man.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, you did. You left. You didn't notice that? Like you were here in Discord and then you just were gone.
Yeah, there's a I did this multi-factor authentication and there was an issue getting back into Discord. So I guess that's what happened. My apologies.
Nah, you're good, man. All right, since Chris also showed up, I'll ask the question again since it's worthwhile doing it. With RAM prices out of control, should Sony just focus on current-gen consoles instead of trying to release the next PlayStation until RAM prices come back down? So if
They all should. It's too expensive. The price is too damn high. You hear all the shit going on with the Steam machine and people talking about 1,000, 2,000 financing options with your bank. It's like, what? It's going to get too crazy. It's going to get too crazy and it's not going to be worth it. And people are going to be like, you know what? I'm going to leave the money where it belongs in my pocket and in the backyard. They're not going to do it. They're not going to buy any of that shit. They're going to be like, I got a perfectly good console. Think about it. We talk about it all the time, right? What have we seen this generation to justify even what we have now?
Nothing.
You know, it's like nothing. So then they're going to go and talk about something else. Like, oh, guess what? We're going to have one. When are those games coming? maybe a year or two after, but it's going to be great. Now you just got to go buy the. No, no, it's not going to happen. And it's going to lead to a lot of problems because we're already seeing that with certain big items, people holding back because the prices are so expensive when it comes to SRAM. People are looking at their phones. It's like, you know what? I can get another year or so out of this. There's no that need to go and get something else. It gets put on hold, especially when you start seeing that that is not the normal price. You know what I mean? It's one thing where we all expect prices to go up during down. But when you see it inflating like the numbers we're seeing now on IT and computer parts and stuff like that because of the memory issue, you're like, no. Because then you'll feel like the sucker when the prices go down and something happens with the memory. And you're like, shit, I should have held off a few months. So, no, they should just wait. And everybody would be understanding. They like to throw those numbers. Oh, we're changing things due to the inflation, blah, 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 and raise the prices. Well, then say it in a reverse way. Yeah, you're not going to lower the prices, but we think we should hold off because of what's going on with, what's a good way to say it, a scarcity or whatever they want to say, reduce for resources. And I think people would be understanding. So,
yeah, because I don't see anybody, just real quick, Carlos, you could use as a jumping off point. I don't see anyone clamoring for a new console. That is not something I'm seeing, you know, but go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, in terms of if we're just talking strictly quote-unquote gaming market conditions or how the gamers feel, yeah, they should definitely hold off on this. They should hold 10 years. I mean, there's no real reason to release any, you know, new consoles because I don't think they're going to release any new games next year or the year after that. So, yeah, in terms of the gamer's perspective, I feel like we're all probably feel like they shouldn't release it next year or 2027. But what I will mention is that there's the other factor, and Tony kind of alluded to it earlier where he said, you know, about the shareholders.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, you know, they're spending money on research and development, and eventually, you know, they have to make a profit off of the stuff that they're doing. So that's one aspect. The other aspect is there's a lot of factors when it comes to making a console, and you know, the whole thing with, you know, the fabricating everything, getting all your partners ready, and the shipping and all that. It takes a lot. I don't think it's something that, you know, you can change on a whim. Like, yeah, something really drastic needs to happen in order for that to you know, change or, you know, go different. And I mean, even the last time a console released was during the pandemic, which is probably one of the worst conditions you can ever think of, the way that the world stopped back then, and we still got a console. And another aspect of it is, you know, we're talking about WAM prices. They're going exorbitantly high because of AI.
Yeah.
And we still don't know how things are going to be 4 years from now. It could go higher. So, you know, in terms for Sony, if you release, you know, in 2027, you can at least lock up whatever prices you can get now and just, you know, release them knowing that, instead of, you know, speculating 4 or 5 years from now when we don't know what the hell is going to happen in those times. And it's something that I don't think anyone knows. So it's tricky.
Yeah. No, I'm like, guys that are paid billions don't know the answer either, man. It's crazy. But yeah, what do the rest of you guys think? Chris, get in here, man. What do you think about consoles? Like, when do you think we might actually get them, and should we?
The problem with the shortage is it's going to affect any price. Like, every system has Sony and every other manufacturer only has a certain stock of the current memory and chips they use, and more needs to be manufactured. If everybody's fighting over resources and the price is just going up, then we're going to eat the cost. Even if it's a kid buying a PS5 or a PS5 Pro, if it's newly manufactured, eventually Sony's going to keep increasing the price. We're kind of screwed on everything. The phones are going to be affected, tablets, you know, anything that uses RAM is going to be affected. So it's not just PCs, it's not just the PC market, it's not just the gaming market. Honestly, I see, like, next year, like, you're going to have Android and Apple phones just increasing in price too, because they have to source all this from the same place. And, you know, if everyone's competing with AI building massive data centers and hogging all of these chips, then, it's gonna be rough. Like, honestly, I would think if you're going to buy a console or anything, just, and you don't have a PS5 or a PS5 Pro, buy it now.
Yeah.
Don't wait.
No, you're right. I mean, look what happened. It's like the prices already went up. They're probably going to go up again. By the way, real quick, I want to give a shout out to Kuel. He actually also asked a similar question. So this is for both you guys. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, yeah, if you have electronics right now, like, keep them in the best shape you can, bro. Clean out your PC, clean out your console, because you need that shit to last a while. You know, yeah. It's upsetting, man. I don't know the answer. Nobody does. You know, I legit do not see a light at the end of the tunnel here. Maybe I'm being too pessimistic, but I don't see
Vincent
it.
Wang doesn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. He literally doesn't know what the end goal of all this is. So, yeah. And what if this all collapses? What if this AI bubble bursts, which it seems like it will? When you don't have an end goal,
yeah.
You don't. Your roadmap doesn't end anywhere. At what's a product? He doesn't even know.
Yeah.
So at the end of all this, what's going to happen is that bubble is going to burst. That's going to AI is going to collapse and take on some other form, but it's not going to be this juggernaut of billions of dollars cycling between the same five or six companies and then funneling through NVIDIA. That's all going to collapse. And then what are the manufacturers going to do? They're going to come crawling back to consumers. And honestly, it's like, well, you better bring prices way the fuck down if you want to get back into the consumer market, because you're screwing everybody right now. They're not going to forget that in a couple of years. They're not going to beg to, oh, thank you for gracing us with some memory that's, you know, semi-recent. No, it's going to be like, go fuck yourself. You completely abandoned all of us and chased AI, whatever the fuck you were chasing. I don't know what that is. I thought at least he would have said, like, oh, we're going after general intelligence or super intelligence. It's just like, well, I don't know. China's doing it. You know, we got to be better than them. And it's like, that's not a goal.
Yeah. No, even was it Micron? They were just like, oh, it's more lucrative over there. Fuck the consumer market. I'm like, bro, but that's a good point. It's like, when they come crawling back, people may be like, fuck you, you know?
Fuck Micron.
You know?
And fuck them. Fuck the NBA, too. They said the same shit.
Yeah.
There you go.
They split everything up, for those who don't know. They all the, we were, well, Carlos and Rich, you know, when the big boss of the NBA came out and he said, oh, this is great for the fans, the fact that the league is split through like 12 different freaking pay services. It's like, oh, they have more options. Bullshit. What do you mean great? Now we've got to subscribe to all these other bullshits. No.
That's good for them because they get more money out of it.
Exactly. It's good for them. It's not good for us. But he had the nerve to say it's good for the fans.
It's similar motivation, but different means, because Micron is like, fuck you guys, I don't want you guys as customers. You guys are poor.
Yeah, pretty much. You poor motherfuckers. Oh,
that's,
man,
pretty much how they did.
This is crazy. All right, any other thoughts on this?
I always wonder with this situation, can somebody just jump? I mean, obviously it's going to take a while, but can somebody just jump into this market and just go directly for the consumer market, since all these other guys are essentially just fucking everybody over on the other end?
I don't know, because you would have to start all that manufacturing on your own. Like, it would have to be an existing company that decides, okay, we're gonna branch off and do this. Like, that's the only way I could see that.
The only way it'll happen is if Elon Musk wants cloud online, he'll just start a company, buy another company, and then do it. That's probably the only way I could see it.
Yeah, it's gonna have to be somebody on that level, you know. We're fucked, guys. We're so fucked. Man. All right. Moving on here. Shout out to Eurocar. Got a couple questions here.
Who that?
Yeah, who him? All right. First question, kind of related to the previous one. Do you believe this increase in the cost of gaming hardware will lead to gaming streaming services having an uptick in subscribers? It's a good question, actually. Like, are people going to be so desperate that they go, fuck it, I don't care if it's cloud-based. At least it doesn't cost me an arm and a leg. Bro, that's some dystopian shit, man.
They would have no choice. They would have no choice. Go with the GeForce Now and do that form. Because, if that's the only way you can do it and it's a cheaper way, you just need to have good internet. That's the key there.
Yeah, suddenly it's like, you know, we were complaining about Xbox Game Pass pricing going up. What if that's now the cheaper option? Damn, bro. I don't even know what to say to that. But for no reason whatsoever, Carlos, what do you think of this?
I mean, that's definitely a possibility, especially, you know, what we're aiming for here, like where everyone is aiming for is processing power. And it's like, well, you can either do that from getting a PC, building your own PC, buying a PC, or, you know, buying a console or something like that. But when it gets too expensive to do those kinds of things, who has all the processing power? It's these large corporations with building their data centers, you know, and building data centers out the wazoo. And, you know, Microsoft, for example, is one of them that's doing it. And they got a lot of processing power, so they could probably, you know, keep the lights running when it comes to, you know, Game Pass and stuff. So maybe people find it more of a deal to play on Game Pass than, you know, buying a PC. Because, I mean, or even a regular folk, like, who is just, you know, seeing the PS6 when it comes out, and it's like, oh, the PS6, $9.99. What the fuck?
Like, what?
And that's not even the online. That's not even the games. That's just the price at entry for the console. So at that point, it might be a serious question for someone. It's like, well, I can just pay the lower tier of Xbox Game Pass or let's just say Ultimate. What is it? $30 a month?
Yes, 30. Yeah,
$30 a month for 12 months. And it's like, well, I can cancel at any time, and I can play it on my browser.
Yeah.
You know, so at some point that becomes really intriguing, even if it doesn't have. I mean, it's not like Sony has all these games that people are clamoring for, hype for. So, and Nintendo is kind of, you know, running low on them, and they haven't really been making any noise as much. So, yeah, I see that as a possibility.
Yeah, unfortunately, so do I. You know, because, you know, when you read the question at first, you're like, that's ridiculous. And it's like, oh, wait, yeah, doesn't seem so ridiculous, does it? You know, what about the rest of you guys? What do you think? Did this help cloud gaming?
Sad. I don't know.
You're right. It's like maybe Xbox and NVIDIA are like, oh, shit, let's go. Maybe NVIDIA planned all this shit, get more subscribers on GeForce Now.
I mean, the thing about it is also PlayStation still benefits out of that. They do have cloud gaming.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've heard that the signal that they push off to their TV is actually a lot better than Microsoft. So,
Yeah, I don't know, man. Depressing stuff, man. But that would be very ironic, right? If that's the way cloud gaming wins in the end, because it's like the cheapest option. Because
they, you know, they priced everybody out on hardware.
Yeah,
that's the ultimate though. That's the ultimate for these big companies, where you don't at any point own the thing that you bought.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And it's still gonna hurt.
You don't
them.
Download it. You don't download it. You don't nothing. You just pay them for the right to use it for a certain amount of time.
But then you see, then it just keeps rolling over. So like, let's say that happens, right? Then everybody says, hey, just go to GeForce, one of these services. All right. So then those services get bombarded with new subscribers, and it starts overloading their system. So what happens? The price will go up. They're going to have to go and buy more computers to build. They're going to come across the same issue that the consoles, all the other ones, they don't have the resources for the parts. And then it comes back to the consumer. So then they're like, all right, I'm only paying $10 a month. Oh, wait, it just jumped to $40.
But that's the whole point of this. The reason why the hardware for us is costing a lot is because they're building data centers. So they're already having the infrastructure they're already getting that stuff, you know. There's no scarcity for them. They have the pot.
Yeah,
they got all the chips, they got all the high-end GPUs, you know. They got all the electricity, they got the power plants, they got the water. So in 10 years, when AGI comes out, New York pizza is going to suck because the water is going to be different.
Oh, man.
They're going to make it clean. No, I don't do that.
Man, I have to
take the fluoride out.
Too, son.
I need my fluoride. I miss my fluoride. I miss that water. It's all nice and sticky.
A Syrian Air Force goes, so can we trade in RAM for consoles during pre-order? I don't know, man. Maybe.
So you got to ask GameStop that question.
Yeah. GameStop, you can trade in anything in these days.
You can trade in. They have their trade in anything deals.
Yeah, it's one day. One day though.
You can't trade in any guns or weaponry though. No, none of that.
Let me see. I think I saw somebody. Yeah, because they were posting. Let me see if I can find it. Somebody brought in a speed limit sign. They traded. They try to trade that in. They try to trade in a stuffed animal. You're not supposed to do that. Somebody tried to trade in a replica of the Declaration of Independence. this is from GameStop. I'm just going through their tweets. Somebody tried to trade in this is the 80s CD. Remember those? They tried to trade in an old Netflix fucking CD. Remember those?
Well, they knew that was going to happen. I think that's what they were going for that reaction. And then more people would just show up at the store. They're like, you know, maybe I can do this. And then we'll get some of those little memes that go around. And maybe there's some things that they will take. Because I'm not sure. At first, I was like, oh, maybe they're branching out and turning GameStop into like an everything type of thrift store.
Yeah.
You know, for these type of things. That could work. That definitely could work. I mean, we've had them in New York for at least electronics. Remember those... what were they called? It wasn't Electronic Boutique. They were called, there was one on Steinway.
Pawn shop, you mean?
No, Electronic Exchange. Exchange. It wasn't a pawn shop. It was just Electronic Exchange. You go in there, you can bring in your gadgets, whatever, they examine it, and then they can put it up, give you store credit for other stuff that's there, or you get money. And they dealt with that. All electronic game, DVDs, all separate things. And they worked out. There was a few of them. You know, but I'm thinking maybe that's what they're thinking of doing. Let's just grab a bunch of shit and see what we can do with it. Because the model right now that they have isn't working. You hear all the shit going on with Funko. You know, they're in the hole right now. They're like almost some ridiculous millions of dollars in debt. And GameStop used to have walls, right? A whole wall that used to be used games. Now it's just Funko Pops. Now what? What do you do? Now that they're putting those things on clearance because no one's buying the shits. So it's going to be tough, but I'm curious to see. I thought it was just one day. I saw the email. The email said it was just one day. So was everyone talking about that one day, or did they expand it?
I don't know. I'm not sure. But yeah, wild stuff. All right. Actually, I guess I'll, you know, a twist on the question. Would you guys start playing games through the cloud in order to save some money?
No. Just buy less.
Buy less. There you go.
Just buy less. Do you need to have the game on day and date?
No.
Nobody needs to know that FOMO. You don't need, is if you get over that FOMO shit, you can buy your game for like, you know, just wait a few years off and then you're good to go.
This is the best test, right? You could tell somebody, it's like, oh, I need this FOMO. So, all right, before you do that, look at your bat log and look at the games that you picked up in this same regard of like, oh, the FOMO. Did you play it? Did you finish it?
Yeah, there you
if
go.
If not, it's going to sit right next to that one. So every time you're thinking, oh, I got to have it. What was the last game you gotta have? Did you play it? And then they start thinking about it. It's like, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe I should just wait. And it's a clockwork. People, come on now. We know how this game works. It comes out. Then next you know, we have the Black Friday. It's on sale then. They're like, oh, no, you missed out. No, you didn't. Because then Christmas comes. And then there's another big sale for that one. You know? Mm-hmm. So just, you don't need it. Just wait.
Yeah. No, it's true. I don't think anybody on here will like switch over to streaming. I don't think that's gonna happen.
Nah, ain't happen.
I sure as fuck wouldn't do that. I'd rather just stop gaming, you know. But like you said, Adam, the backlog is there.
And it's real. I swear, if anyone says absolutely real gamer, then you definitely have a damn backlog.
Oh yeah.
Don't tell me you play every damn shit and you beat them on, you did it. So, because so many times you pick up games because it was on a sale and like I'm gonna get to it when. One day, you know, but then someone like Chris sends you some badass games and just piss you off. And then you're still stuck on the first level like 3 weeks later. And you're like, shit, I'm never going to get to my backlog because I can't even beat this fucking first mission on this new game.
Yeah, there you go, man.
Holy shit.
What's the name of the game again?
It's a Neon Inferno.
Neon Inferno.
Rage Quit. It's fucking brutal.
Rage Quit Inferno.
It looks so good though, and it's deceiving because once you do that little intro, like I got this shit. Oh wow, okay, shooting the bat, I can do it. And then that first mission,
man,
gotcha.
Yeah, all right,
That Marvel Cosmic, you guys talked about that. That was fun. That was a good
one. Well, we didn't get a question about it, so blame the fans for that.
What? No question. Yeah, freaking epic fail. Here's the big one, and people were talking about this shit. That's on Game Pass. That is on Game Pass.
Really? Oh, yeah, wow.
That game is,
Brett could be playing that right now.
He could be,
That's the epic fail. So many people, and when I was talking about it, it was like, oh, you should pick this up. They're like, oh, yeah, I see it's on Game Pass. I'm like, what? And they didn't say anything. That's not something advertised. Usually Microsoft likes to blow up everyone's email. Oh, look at this. Nothing. Like crickets on it. But yeah, sure enough, it's on Game Pass. Day one. And that's the way it was with the Turtles.
Yeah.
Shredder's Revenge was also
Game Pass.
It was a day one release, also a tribute release. So, but yeah, it's out there. It's fun. You know, we played it with my son, and I think we're going to be playing it with Manny and Rich and stuff like that. So, looking forward
to it. Let's do it.
Good stuff.
I haven't fully gone through the game yet. I played a little bit with another buddy of mine.
But yeah, we did like two or three missions, I think.
I've maxed out Spider-Man and Wolverine already, so they're both at level 10. So they slap hard, as the kids say.
Oh man, Barry, do something about this fucking bot. All right. Okay. Next question for Mr. Eurocar. Has there been any updates on the Jeff Keighley statue? What percentage would you give to this being an underwhelming reveal? No updates, and I say 90%.
People still speculating.
Yeah, I say 90% that people are going to be disappointed.
A statue?
That statue, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a statue that is out in the desert right now, and people have been speculating for like a week and a half as to what game it represents.
It looks like a door. It looks like a giant door, and it's got all these like zombie skeleton knights all over it, like these weird animals and all kinds of other stuff, like going all over it. And it has this glowing center that steams.
Yeah, that was like the main topic for, you know, the Thursday show, because that was the biggest thing happening in gaming that week. People speculating on what this fucking statue was.
But why is it linked to Keighley? What are they?
Because it's part of the Game Awards.
He put up a teaser about it.
Yeah.
He did something, and then he put, like, you know, a map or something like that, and people found it. So
yeah, people are going, and it's like when you go there at night, it actually glows and stuff. So there it is, Adam. There it is.
It glows.
You see Carlos
posted. It actually glows all the time.
Yeah, but it looks like, but I guess you see it better at night. So people are speculating. Look at the screen. There it is. Carlos is playing the video of it.
Oh.
So people are like, yo, what the fuck is that?
Well, there is one update that came out today. The Lords of the Fallen devs have confirmed that's not their game.
Okay,
so
he did make my game.
I personally think it's Sorrows, the Heternal.
I could be wrong,
but I'm gonna stick with that one. God of War, it's not God of War, it's not Doom, it's not Diablo. All these things got debunked. So yeah, this is the hot thing in gaming now. So yeah, I guess that answers the question. That's the update. It is not Lords of the Fallen.
Yeah.
And you know, I guess this is a good time to plug it. We will be doing our live roast of the Game Awards Thursday. You know,
I like the way it's just evolved to the roast of the Game
Awards. It is. That's what it is.
It's not us just watching. Oh, not even a watch along. It's just a live roast.
Because that's what we do, you know?
That's what we do.
It's right. Jeff Keighley.
Jeff Keighley. Is
anyone even excited for that? Like, I've not.
We heard never are, man. Really. No, we not never are.
Us, but I just, people in general. Like, are you seeing in the comments and stuff?
Or on Twitter and stuff, the usual, like, oh, I want this to win. I want this to win.
Who cares?
It really doesn't, but people watch it, you know? They're excited for the flute guy. He's back, you know?
Yeah. He's the most exciting thing out of that show. He's like, hello, I am back. I'm going to be the flute guy.
Yeah, he posted a tweet. He's like, I'm ready.
Flute guy's ready.
My body's ready.
It reminds me of with Lost Boys. The dude, the big muscly dude with the saxophone, same shit. It's like, whoa, I've never seen someone react that way with the saxophone. You know,
that's funny.
With a chain. And then we got the flute guy doing the same shit.
So. And he's going to be bringing out different kinds of flutes, you know, like he did last year.
I got the big flute, the small flute, the tiny flute.
That guy's fun. All right, so yeah, we'll see. Next up here, we have George W. Cush. he goes, I know you guys said many times that Richard Bailey Jr. is a big fan of Concord, so I wanted to know which of you are excited for the rumored announcement by Sony of Concord Remastered. Rich, is there any validity to this?
Well, first and foremost, yeah, let me respond to that. I'd like to tell George W. Cush, do not listen to the people that don't know what they're talking about. I never said I was a Concord fan. That is Chris and Carlos. They are the Concord fan. Yes.
Oh, man.
We actually do know at least one legitimate Concord
fan. We're not going to say his name on air, you know.
But we won't say his name.
He goes, but seriously, my question for this week is, I'm getting more and more tempted. Oh, and Adam, it's a good thing you're here. I am getting more and more tempted to buy a MetaQuest 3 for PC VR gaming. I am interested in Half-Life Alyx and trying a lot of mods for classics, Dark Souls, Resident Evil, Cyberpunk, etc. Did any of you have the experience of owning one? If my memory serves well, I think Adam bought one recently, but I don't think he gave his thoughts. So, Adam, should he buy?
But yeah. No, not yet. Uh-oh. Yes, I would have said before, but I'm just saying for the Steam frame. Hold yeah. off, because if you haven't purchased one yet, and that's coming, they said, early next year, that's just a few months. Just hold off. First, see that price. That's the other thing. Because, let's say the specs come out, price is too damn high, there's still going to be people that want it, and they're going to be selling their Meta 3, and you can buy that used. So then you can go down that road, and you'll be okay, and you'll get it at a discount. So just hold off. Hold off a little bit. Let's wait to see all the stuff going on with the Meta 3, well, the Steam frame, how much it's going to cost, that type of thing. Just saying, especially if you're looking forward to, like, Alex and stuff like that. I love using it. It's right over there. But the thing is, I don't play a lot of games on it. I use it mainly for the TV experience. Mm. You get this huge screen. You know, I use Moon VR. Fantastic app. You can look it up on YouTube just to get an idea what it is. They got different rooms and setups, like movie theaters, all kinds of stuff. Some of them look creepy. I have one where it looks like I'm in a mining town. Mm. And I'm, like, looking down. And I can see, like, a wanted poster of some guy. I can see lanterns around. I'm just sitting in some, like, old Ricky chair watching this big screen in front of me. It's wild. So definitely love it. It's great. It's a different experience. But just for now, though, hold off till we find out exactly what's going on with the Steam frame and how much that's going to cost. Because that does a lot more than just with the Meta, mainly because of the interface and the interaction that it has with Steam. A lot of that stuff you could already do with the Meta. You could plug in and you can do all that stuff, but the whole thing of loading games onto your memory card internal and taking it on the go from Steam, you can't do that. At least not that I've seen. Everything is just connected to the computer, and then you can play the Steam games and do that stuff or connect through the cloud, do the cloud, Steam cloud. But there's a lot more integration, especially if you're looking to find something that's more linked with Steam, obviously, with the frame. So let's just hold off and see the price and see how that goes. Because also, we have the Meta 4 that's getting announced.
Oh, okay.
Right? And that's also supposed to be announced early next year. They've been hinting at that for a while. It's not like, oh, maybe we'll do. No, that's like, it's coming next year. We just don't know when. So now I'm sure this puts some fire under their ass because they're like, shoot, we got this. We got frame. You got Apple talking about that. Their other freaking epic fail that they want to bring back again and try for another VR headset. So either way, the 3 is great, and that will work, and you'll definitely be able, if the other two price you out, you can get a 3 for maybe $200-$300, you know, in great condition, in the box, you know, that type of deal. So don't worry about it. You'll be all right. So just give it a little bit. Let's just wait till we hear the numbers for the theme frame.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. Yeah, definitely hold off, you know. That might be a subplot of this episode. Hold off. You don't got to purchase all now. You can wait. Yeah. It's okay. Hold it. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he goes, also some clarification for last week. You were right that my question for success for a long-awaited release of 10 years with other metrics besides sales didn't make sense. What I meant to ask was if any of them exceeded the hype. So that was because we were confused about the question. Like, was there a game that was in development for over 10 years that was successful in other terms other than sales? And we're like, that doesn't make any sense. And he kind of realized that. So yeah, he said, what he meant to ask was, did any of those games that were in development for a long time actually end up exceeding your hype? He goes, you guys had a good answer with Cyberpunk. I don't think it exceeded it, but it was still great, you know?
What was that other one with that you could travel around planets and stuff? Remember, it was a big deal that kept
saying Starfield didn't exceed your shit.
No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky. Not for me, but for
a lot of people. Yes.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was one
for I think we talked about that last week too. Yeah, that's for a lot of people, that was a big one for sure. It still is. It's still constantly getting updated. I'm always seeing clips of people posting about it, you know? So that actually, I should say it ended up fulfilling all the yeses that what's his face said. Remember, homeboy was out there, they were asking him, does this game have this and that? He said yes to everything without the game having that shit, you know. But it finally added all that stuff over time.
And I think that's probably what he meant to say. He was like, can it have it? Yeah, eventually, but not now. He should have added that part, but he made it seem like day one
Yeah, I'm like, my man was on Conan O'Brien saying yes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy.
And was it like 16 people or something like that? It's like a small
team, yeah. Sean Murray. I don't know why I was forgetting his name. But yeah, you know, the game came through in the end. All right, last question of the night. Another one from Black Viet. This is a very interesting question because, like, he's directing it at me, but I may not be the right person to answer this, but I also kind of am on this podcast. It's weird. He goes, Tony, what are your thoughts on Metroid Prime 4? And do you recommend this to someone like me who has never played the Prime series of Metroid games? Well, it's interesting you ask me that because I've never played these games either. But at the same time, I have played a demo of this one. So I think that's why you're asking me the question. I haven't played it. And I'm going to keep it real right now. And I was talking to Danny Pena about this. And I think he posted about it too. So I could, you know, talk about it here. He played the game for like an hour and a half and lost his entire save because he died. Because there's no autosave. A consistent autosave in this game.
What the
hell? Yeah. And the thing is, and I'll say this though, some insider stuff. Our reviewer who was reviewing the game lost 2 hours of progress. You know, so it's like, what are we doing? The thing is, it's not that the game doesn't have autosave. It does for specific times, but not all the time. You know, what you have to do is, it's old school. You got to go to the save point and make a manual save, you know? Yeah, no, you're right about that. And Danny was like, hey, there was an autosave before. So he just assumed there's constantly autosaves, like in every 2025 game. Not Nintendo. They said, fuck that. You know, so when I heard that, I'm like, all right, bro, I'll wait. You know, because I did enjoy what I played. But yeah, I am not the person to ask about Metroid Prime because I've never, again, the only Metroid games I've really played are the 2D ones. I played Metroid Prime Dread and Return of Samus. Like, I'm pretty current with Metroid stuff, but I'm not really a Prime. I've never owned a GameCube, you know?
I mean, the thing about it is, like, you know, didn't Super Metroid have a thing where you had to always go into a room and save?
So, yeah,
did. Shouldn't that be the thing? To be honest, I always do a manual save just in fucking case.
Yeah. No, I understand that. But, you know, if you losing an hour and a half of game time sucks, you know, and if you had an autosave before, it should be more consistent, don't you think? Like, basically, I said this to Annie, either have autosaves or don't. Because if you don't have autosaves, you at least know, I better go to this room and save, you know?
Well, I mean, if they're giving you a room to save in that, to me, that's a telltale sign. There ain't no autosave in the game.
Yeah, no, there is. That's the thing I'm trying to tell you. It's inconsistent, you know? Which is crazy. Like, I think there's autosaves before bosses, but, like, if you just die to some regular enemy, like that, you know, autosave. I see you ahead of it. Mm-hmm. Like, fuck that.
That's some bullshit. God, come on now. People don't have time.
Yeah.
I don't have time for that shit. It's like, yo, everything.
Go to the save room.
Save. Forget a save room. I want right there when I pause the game, I have an option to save. I don't want to go to no room. No backtrack.
You got to go do your own saves, man. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like all these little nicks and knacks that made people fucking lazy to just go in, make you save. I'm sorry they lost their progress, but they should have known, like, yo, if there's a save room or if there's a specific thing to say, that probably means you should be going there.
Yeah, again, I see both sides, man.
That's modern day gaming hand holding. That's what, you know, is auto saving.
I want that.
I haven't played the previous Metroid Prime games, but I feel like they probably did it the same way in those too.
Yeah.
What game was it?
They probably did.
It was Call of Duty. There was another game. There was a game that I remember would do the autosave, but if you just closed out of the game, it would count. It would throw you back to an earlier checkpoint. It was an autosave while you're playing. But it didn't. If you backed out of the game, it would just throw you at the previous checkpoint. It wouldn't throw you at that autosave. That autosave was just like a checkpoint within your gaming session. You still had to make to the next checkpoint. Shit, I want to say it was an earlier Call of Duty because I remember playing something like that. Definitely a shooter.
There's quite a few games that sort of do that, like Metal Gear Solid, Peace Walker. Metal Gear Solid 3 does have an autosave, but it doesn't always work. You know, it, you know, so I always like say, fuck it, jump in, do it like the old days, call up paramedic, get your save in.
Yeah. But again, like my thing is like, if it should at least be consistent, either have it or don't, you know, that sounds pretty annoying. Again, that's not the way I play. I always manually save, but I get it, man. Yeah. It's like, you're fucking old. You know, like, bro, imagine you come home and shit, you spend 2 hours playing this motherfucking game, and then that's your whole gaming night. It's like, you know, I get it. I understand, you know?
I don't know. I feel like it's like, if it gives you the option to save, you shouldn't fucking trust that shit to save. Fuck that shit.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. Like I said, I understand both sides here. It's crazy, man. But yeah, I don't know if anybody else here has played Metroid Prime 4.
No.
Chris, no plans either?
I've not played it, but my thoughts on
the save. Maybe down the road, but...
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
Oh, no, I'm about to say that my thoughts on the autosave thing is I'm also with Tony here and a bit of Manny, where I think by now we've reached a point where the game tells you if there's an autosave when it first loads up, and this is actually one of the things that I hate seeing in so many games. It's like, why are you telling me that
you have to save? Didn't you just have a save issue? You told us a horror story not too long ago.
It's more data corruption than save.
Oh, issue. That was it. Okay.
Yeah. Ooh.
But yeah, I'm personally, I hate it when games say that. Oh yeah, this game auto saves and little thing in the corner, unless there's like a dedicated save point, I'll just assume that you autosave, because that's just how games are these days. So again, if there's like a dedicated save point somewhere, or that's not in the menu, then I know that, okay, it autosaves and that's it, and that's the end of that. But yeah, I can definitely sympathize with losing hours of gameplay, but at the same time, I mean, if the game doesn't tell you that it autosaves, there's no, I don't know why, it's still a floppy disk in some games, but if there's no floppy disk at the bottom side, then yeah, I think it's fair to assume that you need that you'll need to save your game. So yeah, so hence I'm kind of like half and half with Tony and Manny on this one.
Yeah, one thing, like, because when a game only has autosaves, I always try to find that one spot that initiates an autosave. Like in Batman Arkham City, I think it was Arkham City, or yeah, one of the second one, whatever. Like every time you go through a door, it autosaves. So when I knew,
see the little bat thing.
Yeah. So whenever I was ready to finish my session for that time, I would go into a door and come back out because I knew it would autosave. You know, because I'm very particular about that sort of stuff. You know, but man, you know, to your point with Metal Gear Solid 3, it got me too. You know, I didn't lose any progress, but it was just like, I was like, hey, I don't haven't visited a paramedic in many hours because the game was constantly saving, you know, because it would tell you, I'm like, oh, okay, it's saved. You know, I would only autosave at the end of a session, you know, manual save. But I remember back in the day, though, every time I hit a new spot, saving every single time, you know, but this one is like, okay, but that game, the autosave is consistent, at least, you know. Yeah.
It always does it. It does it just like the Batman games, where you walk into a room, it automatically saves. If you go to a boss, it does a save.
Yeah, but that's why I understand why people are mad with Metro, because it's not consistent. Again, pick one or the other. Either have Nintendo specifically, either have auto saves or don't. You can't just
or they could just do like what Brian says, is put a thing. This game does not auto save all the time. Make sure to save all the time so people, it's known there. So people are just once it happens, you'll be like, oh well, I didn't do it. I didn't read the words.
Yeah, like it should say, we're Nintendo. We're backward. We don't have auto saves. Or consistent autosaves.
I mean, it's a Western studio, so it's not Japanese weirdness. It's just these guys didn't do it. But you know, again,
well, like, I wasn't blaming it on Japanese. I was blaming it on Nintendo. You know,
but I also say this. It's like, okay, if you played the other, since it's the same studio that made the previous Metroid Prime games, right? Then it would be assumed that if you've played, and they've just released that a remaster of a previous Metroid game, was that also a game that did autosaves, or was that one that you had specifically save in? Don't know. I can't. You guys in the audience have to answer that for us, because we didn't play that remake.
Yeah.
Maybe Richard, did you play that other remake? It was like Metroid Prime they put out.
The last one I played was Dread. I like Dread. Dread was fun.
Yeah, well, that's the side scroller one. That's a totally different studio.
Go ahead, Rich.
That's all that matters.
Unfortunately, I did not, because you know I don't have a Nintendo. So that's a definitely
no
Tony.
Comprendo.
You had no Nintendo.
Right. Oh no, not for definitely didn't have any Switches, any of the. Other consoles.
Yeah.
Brett probably never.
Now he probably never played it either. Yeah.
Here's a follow up question.
Uh oh.
Do you prefer manual saves or auto saves?
Give me both.
Manual saves.
I want both. I want both.
I prefer manual saves.
I want both.
Yeah, of course you would. Manny saves.
Manny saves.
Yeah. Yeah, what about the rest of you guys? Adam, what do you prefer?
I don't know. I want that shit just to all the time. I want saving every room, every step. Every time
auto save.
Every time I change a piece of equipment, I want to say, you just swapped your gun. We're going to save that. Cha-ching. New cosmetic. Cha-ching. I want it saved every moment so that that way, if something happens and I back out or I move on, I don't have to stress. So that's what I like.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, we shouldn't have to talk about this at this point now. It's not like, oh, we're running out of space and stuff. No. Just can make a checkpoint. Save. Just a little save file. What game was it that you could have a shitload of save files? Not too long. I thought, oh, man, what was it? I had so many saves. I was always saving on it. Oh, man.
Fallout does this.
Yeah.
Was it Fallout that had that? There was a bunch of save files. You could just keep creating your own manual save. Oh, Yakuza, Like a Dragon.
Yeah.
And the pirate one. Yeah, I was constantly creating saves. Every time before I go into another area, I might get my ass whooped. So, you know what? Let's save. Doop, boop. You know, oh, I beat him. Save. Doop, doop. You know, so.
Bro, when I played Fallout 3 on PS, remember how buggy that shit was? Every time I would, like, get to a door, manual save, man, because that shit may crash, you know?
That's still buggy. Played that a few months ago on PC.
I'm not surprised.
To play it. We only got, I don't know, like an hour in and the shit crashed. Like, still this fucking game broken?
Yeah, man. All right, what about you, Carlos? What do you prefer?
We have to choose between one or the other, right?
No, you could be like me. I'm choosing the meme. Why not both?
Why not both? Yeah, both is perfect because, you know, it saves when you're not thinking and then you save when you want. Like, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, I'm about to hit this, you know, boss or something. I'm about to... you know, go to this area or whatever, or like, oh, this is the cutoff point. Yep. Do not, you know, if you enter this place, you will never return or whatever. Those and I do like a whole bunch of manual saves and stuff. Like, I like doing that. But also, I appreciate when it saves for you because sometimes you just don't know what's going to happen. And, you know, if you have a save that happened relatively close to when the game crashed or when something else happened, it's always appreciated. And
because I get annoyed when it doesn't have one or the other, right? If it's just auto saves, I don't like that. If it's just manual save, like if it's just auto saves, I'm annoyed. If it's just manual saves, I'm annoyed. I want both. It's 2025. There's no reason you can't have both. You know, like if I'm playing a remaster or a remake of an old game, I get it. Fine. But there's no reason why you shouldn't have auto saves in the year of our Lord 2025. But at the same time, you can't just have auto saves. That pissed me off, too. I want to do my motherfucking manual saves. You know, give me both.
Give me both.
Yeah. Were you going to say, man?
I mean, I was thinking about, like, I think it was either Chris had like it was somebody. It may have been Chris or maybe been Adam. And like they were playing like Halo, right? And they fell off of a cliff or something like that. And the autosave triggered. Mm-hmm. So all they would do was just always throw you back in that.
This
spot
is why you need that motherfucking manual save too, you know? That because autosaves can fuck you up, you know? All right. Brian, your turn.
It's a tough one because I enjoy the autosave, but at the same time I have been in cases where it just screws you up because, again, what if you make some sort of change to your equipment and then it's auto saves and then you can't really go back, so you're kind of stuck with what you have or something like that. Or unknowingly, in like the old God of War games, you go down the wrong path. Well, you go down the right path, but you wanted to go down the other path,
yeah.
And then now you can't go back, so it's like, but then again, with manual saves, it's just save and quit, and that's it. It's simple. You know what you're doing. You're guaranteed that it's saved when you saved. Whereas with autosaves, like, you quit and then it's like, oh yeah, any progress you've made will be gone, and then sets you back like half an hour. It's like, fuck. So yeah, I think with Tony here, both.
Yeah. Chris.
I agree with you with both. Resident Evil, if you play standard mode, will do that, right? It'll autosave in certain areas, especially key areas before boss fights and whatever, autosaves. And then you have the typewriter. And in standard mode, you don't need ink ribbons, right? You can just use the typewriter as much as you want. And you can make as many files as you want. You can stagger the saves if you're doing a completionist thing. And I remember one time, I don't know if it was Halo 3, I don't remember. There was a time where it autosaved when I was driving a Warthog and I drove off a cliff, and the game autosaved as I was going off.
Yeah, we just talked about that. Yeah, we
just talked about that. I was just telling you. I wasn't sure if it was either you or Adam that had that happen.
Yeah, that was me. Yeah, that pissed me off because the game would load and there I'm dying again.
Man, you couldn't go back. Yeah,
so stupid. Bullshit, Mr. Davis. You can't go back. Yeah. So having the ability to create your own saves while having autosaved, that's a good thing. Now I know on, specifically I use Resident Evil example, if you play hardcore mode, it doesn't autosave.
Yeah.
But that's part of the challenge. It tells you the autosaves are disabled and you have to find ink ribbons to even save manually. But that's part of the challenge of it. But if you play standard mode, it's fine. You can manual save and it will autosave at key areas. And so I've never had a problem with those games. And yeah, I agree with you. It's like, there's no reason not to have both.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to be able to do that. Like, why just have one or the other? Like, autosaves can go wrong, put you in a bad place. And then you're just manual saving, you're just playing a long time and you forget, or you can't make it back to the save room or whatever.
Yeah.
And you get killed. Yeah, all your progress is gone.
Crazy. Right. And Rich, what about you? Which one do you prefer?
Well, to quote Mr. Tony Polanco, why not both? Because, yes, I've had a couple of situations where, like, you know, I think that's a very funny situation with what you said about Chris. I've had situations where where I did an autosave, and I find out later that the file is corrupted, so I can't access the save that I had before. That happened with a game a while ago. I don't remember which game it was, but after that happened, I didn't bother going back to the game. So so there are some pitfalls to the autosave, but that hasn't happened in a while, but I think having both is a great way to go.
Yeah, that's what happened with Danny. He's like, fuck this, I'm not playing this game anymore. He was done. I don't blame him. That's frustrating. Dude,
that was the case when I got the PS5 and some of the save files didn't go to the cloud. We thought it automatically went from the 4 to the 5.
Oh, yeah, like, that's a great example.
Yeah, and I'm like, yo, I put that shit in a fucking box. I got to unplug it, play it up. I'm not going back to that game. That was just one of many reasons why I stopped using my PS5. That, and I fucking hated the home screen. I still hate that. My son plays a PS5 all the time, and I see that shit. I'm like, so damn boring. Why did they do that? They had everything great with the PS4. Remember, we had the themes, the background music. Yeah. We had the different
icons. They have themes now.
It's bullshit themes. It's not the same. It's not the same. And I was like,
you can't bring over your old theme.
I can't bring. It just upsets me. They not everything needs to be updated. Is my point. If it's not broke, don't fix it. That's it. It was great. I used to love it. I remember I had the Fallout 76 one, and I had the music, the intro music of the game playing. Beautiful color. I would leave it on in the background while I'm working, doing all the stuff. I just leave it idle on it just to hear it. I was like, this is great. Had the nice helmet. Had the moving dynamic. I was like, this is great. Gone. PS5, boring shit.
Over. Yeah.
Suck up, bitches.
All right, man. All right, that's it, man. That's the last question of the night. Good stuff. Let's start pimping. Adam, what's going on with you and the TV terminal?
Yeah, a whole lot. Got 3 shows about to turn into 4 shows.
Shoot.
This is out of control. I need it.
And yeah, it's not, man. You got to scale it back, motherfucker.
I'm not trying to. That's the thing. They're like, oh, you covering all this? Oh, how you doing? It's not that. It's that they're overlapping. So even when one is about to end and another one comes, so there's always this continuous. But we got Spartacus. House of Asher. That is a new series based off the Spartacus series that everybody knows from 2010 that was on Stars. They brought it back. Another story, but the same crazy sex orgy, super violent, so, pulling penises off. And stuff.
Is Lucy Lawless in this version?
She is, and it's not a spoiler. She pops up in the first episode, like within like the first minute, and that's all I'm going to say there, but she does pop up. I hope, it's funny, there was a commenter that brought up some stuff about, I hope certain people show up, and I was like, I hope she comes back for more. You know, some other ones they have hinted are going to pop up later on. Some of the ones that are still around and still fit. The guy, the actor, Nick Tarbay, I think that's his name. He's the actor that plays Azure, and he was in the original one. Remember, he died. He got decapitated. He's alive in this one. They explained it in the first part. The dude is still jacked. And I give him credit for that, because that is not easy. And it's not like he's walking around the rope. He's taking off. You just see the six-pack and everything. And he's got to be within our age group. So shout out to him hitting that gym. So, yeah, we have episode 1 and 2. We did a video for that. That's over 1,000 views on that one so far. So, yeah, so people are into that. So that's great. Got Mary Kingstown. We posted up today. Rich and I did that one. That was, what was that, Rich? Episode 7, I think 7. 7 of that one. That's really cool. That's what's going on. And then Landman, the Billy Bob Thornton one, and that was episode 4. Those two dropped today. So yeah, we got 3 shows going on there, and then we got another one coming, and it's a lot. But yeah, if you're into TV shows, especially the ones I just mentioned and a bunch of other ones, check it out. YouTube TV Terminal, we also on the Coalition, and that's it.
All right, and speaking of the Coalition, what's coming up this week, Rich?
Well, yeah, first and foremost, like Adam said, definitely check out the TV Terminal. Mayor of Kingstown is a very good show, so check out what we have to say about that show. As for the Coalition, we're still covering Power. That has been a pretty decent show, so stay tuned for our next review. But pretty much for the gaming fans out there, this is going to be, I would say, the most active week, I would say, in terms of the stuff that we're working on, because, yeah, the Game Awards, you know, Tony's favorite show is right around the corner.
Best show of the year.
Here's a question for you before we end out. This is before I forget. Do you think it's been a long time since it's happened? Are we going to get any stealth drops from the Game Award? Do you guys see that happening? Remember when we had that from Bethesda and it was just that shelter game? And I was like, oh, and this is out now. And in fact, I think Ubisoft did that too with one of their.
Is that what you by stealth drop? You mean like a game that releases that night? That's what you mean?
Yeah, that once they announce it, maybe. Like, oh, and when is it available? And then they do a little clock thing. It's like, right now, check your eShops. And
yeah.
There you go.
Yep.
I miss that. I miss those surprises. Those are great.
Go ahead, Rich.
Oh, no, I think that's going to happen. But I'm working on a couple of different things leading up to the Game Awards. Obviously, there is some news about certain stuff that is going to be getting release dates at this event. So, yeah, I would encourage you to stay tuned to thecoalition.com as well as the Coalition Gaming, because there's a couple different things I'll be dropping throughout the week.
Good stuff. And Manny, what you got?
Thank you to all the folks. If you were at the Boston Celtics versus LA Lakers game and picked up a really cool print that Kari Randolph and I had done for that. So yeah, that was a limited print that was only given away at the show. So if you were at the game, you got that stuff. So thank you very much if you ended up getting that. Number 2, Blood and Thunder. Number 8 is coming very soon. That is the new, we have a new cover by Kari and myself, which we have a cover series, which we move all the way up to issue 12. So yeah. So they'll be coming up all the way up till 12 to the issue 12. And you know, that's what I got going on right now. Obviously, working on all kinds of funky stuff that I can't talk about. But, you know, stay tuned.
Good stuff. All right, we're out of here, man. So make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube. Join the Discord where the conversations, the rumors are always popping. Make sure you also follow us on your favorite podcast app. And remember, this Thursday will be our annual roast of the Game Awards. I'm pretty sure we're probably going to start streaming that around 7:30. I think the show starts at 8, but they always do like a pre thing. We're probably going to have our homie David Gilton in show up, so I'll hit him up. It'll be good times. I'll probably show up maybe an hour into it because I got my office Christmas party. So these guys will start the stream, you know. Crima. You know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, it'll be good times. And then, you know, that Sunday will be the regular, you know, throw on your questions. Then the week after that, you know, it'll be the final two episodes of the year. We're going to have our usual end of the year special where we talk about our favorite games, talk about the biggest stories and the games we're anticipating. And then we will finally end things off this year with our usual AMA special. So start thinking of some cool stuff. And the limit is three for those. So go ham. You know, those shows are always pretty fun. They're always long. So start thinking of some good non-gaming questions right now, man. And that's going to do it, man. So once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Adam Vale.
Good week, everybody.
Richard Bailey Jr.
See you guys on Thursday.
And Brian Manjoma.
I really like Riku's new arc where he wakes up and he chooses violence every single day.
Oh, no. What did he do this time?
Oh, his tweets saying that these anime are overrated.
That was a wild one.
Best anime in a long time. It's like, damn, Riku.
Yeah, Riku shitted on every anime. Akira, Cowboy Bebop. Like, he threw everything under the bus.
Why is he so angry? What's he used to love those anime?
No, he never did. He never did. But he's like, I'm finally admitting it. I'm like, you should have admitted it long ago, man. You got to be yourself, man.
Even like the Ghibli films as well.
Yeah, he said all the Ghibli films. He goes, except Princess Mononoke, he goes, all the Ghibli films. He threw, Brian, I got to bring this up now. I know we're doing this show outro, but I got to do this shit. We still got to find it. Because Riku.
I didn't even know this about Riku.
Right? Riku was
something. Neither did I, but I was like, okay, Riku, like, that's a statement and a half. And again, it was just, it's like lots of really good ones.
Here we go. Yeah.
Don't worry, Free Red was in there as well. So he
So here's what he goes. Oh, by the way, so the original tweet is, what anime is this for you? Forcing yourself to sit through a painfully boring anime because everyone keeps calling it peak. So this is what he listed. Violet Evergarden, Frieren, Your Name, Perfect Blue, Akira, Summer Wars, Dan, Dr. Stone. Yeah, did I say Dun Dun Dun?
Yeah.
Dr. Stone, Rainbow, Soul Eater, Fafner, ooh, Overlord, When They Cry, The Rising of a Shield Hero, The Five Star Stories, Trigun, Cowboy Bebop, Grave of the Fireflies, and every Studio Ghibli release except Princess Mononoke. Damn, my man went in.
I mean, homeboy didn't know that. Studio Ghibli made Grave of the Fireflies.
Yeah.
He also makes Grave of the Fireflies. Yeah.
He singled that out specifically. One, no, he
singled that one out
specifically. I wonder how he feels about Barefoot Gen. You know.
Yeah, if you watch Barefoot Gen, here's the thing. Like, I definitely think that, you know, he has a specific taste, and it's not, to be honest, it's not contemplative anime. He just doesn't like that stuff. Yeah, he wants to see shit explode.
Damn, so. Man, he said Rico's a dumbass.
Oh no, man! You know, hey, listen, it's not for everybody, right? You know, like some people just like have a specific idea what anime is, and that's just the way they see it. I'm not saying he's wrong for that.
I like how you said he doesn't like contemplative anime. He just likes to see shit blow up. That's funny.
I mean, what's he like? What's the ones that he does like? How much do you want to bet is going to be a bunch of that stuff?
Yeah. Hey, listen. To be fair, Gundam is not just brainless shit, you know. And I know what's the other one he likes. Oh my god!
Does he think Macross is also overrated?
No, he likes Macross. He liked that a lot.
Okay.
So what's that Viking one he likes? I know people, you know.
Oh, Vinland Saga.
Yes, I know that's not a dumb one, you know.
Definitely not.
Yeah,
and the second season is really slow.
Yeah.
So if he likes that, then
all right.
I don't know. All right. Can't box Riku in, but still, I agree with some
character. You know.
Some of the ones he mentioned, I do agree. Violet Evergarden, yeah.
Violet Evergarden is definitely an acquired taste. You got to be in a certain. That's not a one that you can sit in the room You know, you're just supposed to sit with that one. You can't. It's not. I can't sell that one to anybody.
Yeah, out of the because I haven't seen all of these, but of the ones that I've seen that he lists, I disagree with all of them. Sorry, Riku, mm-hmm. I disagree with all of these. Like, yeah. I think, I don't think they're like, oh, you have to force yourself. Like, no, they're legitimately great. Like the one of the most recent, I literally just saw Perfect Blue like a month ago. After 20 years, I'm like, this is fucking amazing. You know, Akira. I recently resaw that during the summer. I'm like, man, that movie gets better every time. Trigun is dope. Cowboy Bebop is a fucking legend, you know? And here's the thing about Cowboy Bebop. It's not a thing where it's like, oh, I'm agreeing with everybody. I saw that shit before it blew up, you know?
Yeah.
Like me and Manny was like, yo, you got to check this shit. I come over. I'm like, yo, this is fucking awesome, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's up? But yeah, Grave of the Fireflies. Bro, what the fuck? Like, really?
That's a hard one to watch, but I mean, it's like that's a film that's also being very much more like a film than an anime.
Same thing with Perfect Blue.
Anime, which
Perfect Blue is a film, you know?
Yeah, it's a film. It's an animated film, and I think that's the difference, you know?
Yeah. He probably would not like, whatchamacallit?
No,
Jinro he wouldn't like, I don't think.
He probably wouldn't like he probably wouldn't like. He probably wouldn't like Forest Piano. Wouldn't say that would be one he wouldn't care for either.
I don't think he probably doesn't like any Satoshi Kon movie. I'm guessing like a Millennium Actress and shit. He probably wouldn't like that, even though the movie's really good too.
Tokyo Godfathers.
Yeah. Every Studio Ghibli. Here's the thing with Studio Ghibli. I don't like all their movies, but I really appreciate them. I appreciate they exist. Like, even the ones I... Mm-hmm. But the thing is that every Ghibli movie I've seen has been good. So
Spirited Away is great.
Yeah, Spirited Away is good. The fucking Totoro is good. The fucking...
But have you watched the other ones that are not directed
So that's why... Yeah, I've only seen the Miyazaki ones. Yeah. So I can't speak to those.
I really like Princess Kaguya.
Nausicaa is dope. So, but the thing is, like... I'm pretty sure I appreciate them for existing. I really like, because very different from other anime. Maybe that's what Riku doesn't like, you know? Studio Ghibli is definitely its own thing. Enough that AI is able to fucking steal it, you know?
I will say this about Trigun. Trigun is a hard one to get past because of fucking Vash.
Yeah, Vash is an interesting character.
Vash is obnoxious. I hate him.
Yeah.
You have to get past him in order to really be able to enjoy the show. Him, like, yelling around and screaming like a fucking idiot.
Running away.
Yeah, it's really...
No, you're right. Barry Burton says outro became Otanime, yes, it did. Hilarious. Hey, listen, we had to fill up a couple of minutes, and we successfully did it. So there you go. We're done here. So, yeah, again, Thursday, we will be... doing our live roast of the Game Awards, so stay tuned for that. Join us. It'll be a blast as always. Until next time, later.
Laters.